RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the sunny Monday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
me, Beans. It is today we were going to have Zach on the show, the Google whistleblower, but he had to reschedule for Wednesday. So I'm sorry, everyone, to disappoint you. But
well, it's all right. It's just a couple of days.
Yeah, I mean, they'll just have to listen to us blather to one another for an hour.
I know.
It's horrible. Horrible.
Can't get worse.
Oh, Lord. What a weekend, Frank.
It was pretty interesting. It was an interesting weekend.
You know,
I
would like to see you in chat more often.
Where?
In our little chat rooms that we have.
You like know, on Telegram and stuff?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I see what you guys say for the most part, but I don't want to bother you all. B, I don't think I have nearly anything as interesting to say as you guys do. And C, I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like, you know, everything happens in there and you should you're valuable. So there you go.
I get distracted.
Ah,
I get distracted throughout the day, and I don't pick my head up from the keyboard until about 4 p.m. And if I look at anything, I lose an hour.
I know. That's the way it is. I feel the same way.
And it's another thing. If I peek in on you guys or anybody doing your open source investigative work and pulling things together and starting these interesting conversations in the middle of the day, if I do that in the middle of the day, I'll start double guessing everything that I'm going to talk about that evening. And I'll start in the middle of the day thinking maybe I should change the whole topic of the show.
So we're a distraction is basically what
I have
saying.
To catch up with you guys at the end of the day when my work is already done.
Well, all right, fine. Anyway, that's fine. Okay, so a couple of things. Friday night was a Saturday night, late in the evening. Donald Trump tweets, something big just happened, and the entire internet exploded.
Yeah, I was live. It was the Saturday night special for me.
Yes.
And very, very rare that when we're live for the Saturday night special at 11 p.m., do we have any breaking news to talk about? So that was fun.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch because I reserved Saturday for date night with the husband. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Date night consists of us downing coffee at around 7:30 so that we can actually stay up for the entire.
Do you guys have a polyamorous relationship with Lisa Page? Because it seems like everybody else does.
No. No, everybody's got throuples, the new word of the year. Let's talk about that before we get into real Donald Trump, before we get into Donald Trump's tweet. So last night, there was a tweet that went out that there was reporting on OAN that Lisa Page was also involved in a romantic relationship with Andrew McCabe.
Yeah, very, very romantic guy. He looks like a very romantic guy.
Yeah, now that went out and I was like, whoa, because we'd suspected that for a really long time. Like it was something we obviously didn't report because now when I say we, I don't mean you. Sorry about that. Like a bunch of us had suspected it. And we didn't report on it because there's nothing, we don't have anything to back it up other than just this gut suspicion, right? You know, we don't have anything we can share to give it credibility, but I don't know. Let's play the clip, and I think it'll be a good exercise for us to talk through how this happened. Here, I have it because it was deleted from. We'll talk about that in a second.
It was so it's not true.
Okay, we'll do that first, I guess.
Okay.
There has been no. Here it is. Here, let's just listen.
Lisa Page carried on an affair with both Deputy Director McCabe and Strzok. And as lovers three, their text messages paint a now
sometimes at the same time.
Yeah, right? I know. Here.
carried on an affair with both Deputy Director McCabe and Strzok. And as lovers three, their text messages paint a now infamous portrait of elitist intervention and collusion to derail a U.S. presidential candidate.
Now, a couple things. I heard it and I said, wow, that's a big bombshell, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, there is no way that OAN, with the credibility they've got, because they've been doing really, really good work, would report something like that without it being true. However, I was a little puzzled that it wasn't its own story.
Yeah, and that's the only place I saw it from. And because OAN has, or OANN, has pretty good reputation, mm-hmm. up to this point, I didn't find any reason to doubt it.
Yeah, and neither did I. And the thing is this, you know, they've broken news before. You know what I mean? They've broken news before. They've been the first ones to report something in the past. So everybody, you know, we all assigned it the credibility it deserved coming from that outlet. So I retweeted it. I said, you know, first I retweeted it with a few comments. Then I retweeted it saying, as per OANN, Andrew McCabe, Lisa Page, and Peter Strzok were all, you know, basically doing the dirty, whether or not Strzok was aware of McCabe or McCabe was aware of Strzok, who knows, right? And what happened is I went to bed early because I'm exhausted. And I woke up this morning to a barrage of text messages. Sidney Powell came out and said, I think this is not correct. And then I was like, did anyone else say it wasn't correct? And was there a retraction on it? And I looked and there was no retraction, no formal retraction, right? And I was like, maybe Sidney Powell is wrong, but probably not. So I decided I was going to start sharing what I was seeing everywhere just to give everybody a good picture of what was going on. So I shared the Sidney Powell tweet. I also shared the originator of that clip, someone who was watching it and grabbed it and put it up on Twitter, had taken it down completely. Damn. Yeah, and so did the OANN YouTube channel. Then I was like, okay, something's weird here. So I shared all that. Now, there still has not been a formal retraction. True Pundit ran with the story and then updated the story to reflect that they had removed the video. But here's a couple things, Frank. Bear with me here. Number one, everyone makes mistakes. How this mistake happened, if it is a mistake, is beyond me. But what needs to be done now, because I don't feel like OANN would have done this purposefully. They're not that kind of outlet. So what they need to do, in my opinion, my humble opinion, is make a strongly worded retraction if it's not true, as well as a video explaining what happened and pump that everywhere, right? What I've seen that has been really amazing is that people either were skeptical of it to start, or once this all started happening, we're like, okay, you know, let's take a step back. Let's just make sure that this is true. That would never happen on the other side of the fence. People would never say, I don't know if this is true. We have people who are critically examining the news that they're receiving, regardless of who's telling it to them, and doing their due diligence to ensure that what they're sharing is true. Now, right. I don't feel guilty for sharing it because I assign a level of credibility to that outlet. And I didn't think twice about the only thing, again, that really kind of got me was, why isn't this its own story? That was a little weird to me, but I'm like, there's no way they would take the liability of reporting something like this on if it weren't true. And it seems like that may be the case, that there was some kind of mistake or something happened where this was reported and it's not legit. But there needs to be a retraction on it.
Yeah, if it's not true. And like, damn, I when I saw that, I said, you got to be kidding. Oh, well, it doesn't really add anything. It just adds, you know,
another level.
It adds another level of, you know, high school gossip.
Right.
Relationship foibles to the whole story. It's not like, yes, the missing orgasms. We were wondering where these were, you know.
I don't think any of them are having those. They're so ugh.
They're like Ralph Cifaretta from Sopranos. They don't actually have normal sex. They like having hot wax melted all over them. Then they go to the bathroom to play with themselves.
Gosh, the visuals.
I know. I know. I shouldn't have said this. I shouldn't have said it. Jerry, can you please mute all of that?
Jerry makes another appearance in the Dark Delight podcast. He'll be so proud.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said any of that.
It was really funny. I think we're going to leave it.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Let's just move on.
So anyway, this is the thing. Like, how do you feel, Frank, now about OANN, knowing that this may have been a mistake and how they've handled it? Do you still think that they're as credible as they were? Is this mistake big enough to take them down a notch on the credibility level?
Oh, I mean, I would say it doesn't help them at all, especially because, like I said, it's not as if you threw yourself behind a story that had a lot bigger implications as it is when we hear that Lisa Page is the one who edited the Flynn 302s, right, all that stuff. I mean, you committed to a story that really is just on the level of high school relationship gossip.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
That's really the only thing here, because there's nothing about the whole Strzok, Page, McCabe triangle there that needed any assistance to get any more devious or underhanded or ugly. The whole hookup aspect really doesn't do anything. So to go out, if it's real, it's something. But if you weren't 100%, there's no getting around it. Then why? It doesn't add anything to the story. Who cares? We know that this is an incestuous swamp of people. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what to think either, to be honest.
I don't put too much stock in any one network anyway.
That's the thing. Wouldn't it be great if you had a network like, or a place to go like Uncover DC, where you didn't have to worry about that stuff? Like, I'm sure we'll make mistakes, but it's how you handle the mistakes that makes a difference. And one of the things that I made are a law is that if we make a mistake, we have to make sure the correction of the mistake gets more attention than the original mistake does.
Yeah.
Because as we saw over the weekend, a journalist is, the whole thing started, they were trying to downgrade the photo in the Situation Room of Donald Trump going through the process of like taking a look at what's going on with this raid and stuff to get al-Baghdadi, or however you pronounce his last name. And people, one reporter started saying that it was staged. It was a staged photo of him. He wasn't actually there then. He was golfing. That was the argument, right? Mm-hmm. The tweet was from Pete Souza, and he said, or Souza, and he said, the latest reporting from the New York Times, the helicopters left Iraq at 5, and they reported it was about a 70-minute flight to Syria. So the actual raid had to happen sometime after 6:10 p.m. That was the correction. His initial tweet said the raid, as reported, took place at 3:30 p.m. Washington time. The photo, as shown in the camera data, was taken at 17:05:24, which means he was saying that they took the photo after the raid happened and tried to pass it off as though it happened, you know, during the raid. Well, everyone went wild with this, and it went trending on Twitter. You couldn't find the hashtag really trending, which was Washington Post death. What was it? WAPO death. I'm going to find it. The media was just a mess this weekend. So that went trending. And of course, Twitter bolstered it up, but it ended up being false completely. So here's how circular reporting happens, Frank, and why I hate it. And I don't want to ever have to do it ever. Somebody tweets something. An actual legacy media outlet picks it up and makes it into a story. So they write a story around a tweet and they don't add any additional information to it whatsoever. So let's say New York Times picks up this guy's tweet proving that, or purporting to prove that this photo was taken after the fact, right? They report it, and then like Business Insider will do a story on the WAPO story, and then, you know, or New York Times story, and then New York Times will do a story on the Business Insider story. And then you've got this big circular mishmash of nonsense based off someone's tweet.
Yeah.
And you see it everywhere.
And not only that, but the real thing that I think is is hilarious or not so much, it's actually kind of frustrating, is that even if this tweet wasn't out there trying to put the president on a golf course while this is going on elsewhere, even if the president was there controlling the entire raid with an Xbox controller, even if he was that personally involved that he was actually controlling people with PlayStation controllers, they still would have came out like Nancy Pelosi did and do all these backhanded thank yous to the special forces people and everybody except the president. Meanwhile, when the Bin Laden raid was going on, it's just, oh my God, look at the concerned look. Look at Obama was just a stern, a rock of strength throughout this entire thing. So it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter whether or not they place him on a golf course or not. They're always going to skirt around him having any significant hand in it.
The thing that gets me too about the entire thing is that I think he proved in a lot of ways what he thinks Schiff, Pelosi, a lot of them over there, what their contribution is to our enemies by completely withholding this entire thing from them to the point where they had absolutely no idea that it was going to happen. They were completely in the dark.
Absolutely. And then in the morning address yesterday, to actually call out Washington leaking. Yeah. You know who he was talking about then. Yep. But Tracy, I have brought it up on my Sunday stream for patrons yesterday, and I will bring it up again tonight. But let me just throw it on out there. Did your ears perk up when he said that they have been able to collect a lot of valuable intelligence on a number of things, but most importantly, the origins of ISIS?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
Yep. My ears and perked up with that one.
Absolutely. And it must have sent shivers down the spines of everyone who thinks they're getting one over on this guy. You know, he doesn't have to come out and formally tell them that they're in deep crap, because he's able to do it in these little ways where they get the message they're supposed to get. And listen, if it is so telling that, like, Nancy Pelosi comes out and says, oh, a little goodwill here would have gone a long way. To do what? You would have stopped the fake impeachment nonsense you're doing right now? What would goodwill do you? There is no benefit to letting people like you, who'll run over to John Kerry so he can run back to Iran and sit with all his friends over there doing the ultimate violation of the Logan Act we've ever seen in our entire lives. You know, this is the thing. Like, it was demonstrably, first of all, the fact that they've gotten the intelligence there to do this. Not only that, but Pelosi walked out of the meeting where they could have been sitting and talking about some of the things that would have gone on here. You think all of these foreign policy moves in the past couple of, you know, a week and a half or so were all unrelated to this? I doubt it.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I doubt it. It also makes you, it also made me at least consider the commitment to such really interesting and forceful language, and the descriptive way how, you know, we hunted down, there's nowhere to go, coward died a cowardly death on the run, into the tunnels, dead end tunnel. With certain death or suicide as options. And it was interesting, because I was thinking, you know, I don't usually do this. I try to look for double meaning and stuff and ask questions along the way, but this one seemed like laying it on thick for some reason.
Yeah. And, you know, somebody actually had the gall to come out and criticize him and say, there's no way. There's no way he would run into a tunnel with no exit. That's impossible. Like, really? You're being chased by a bunch of dogs, which have a very, very serious meaning in that sector of the world. You know, people were like, you know, dogs are loyal creatures. Not in that area, they're not. They're looked upon as the worst of the worst. Like, for Imam of Peace says, dogs are loved, but not by Islamic extremists. The worst thing you can call a desert Arab terrorist is dog or coward. Trump knows that. That's why he called him both words. His followers will be going crazy now. He basically smacked it down. He said, you people are, you know what I mean? Yeah. He was forceful in his language. And listen, I don't care what anybody says. This president has learned the art of economic warfare coupled with strong intelligence and swift, brutal action. If you're going to take action, you're going to go in, smack them upside the head and get the hell out of there and win every time. None of this nonsense where, you know, what was the operation where all those special forces were killed and maimed? I forget the name of it. Finch would kill us. Goodness. It was a Black Hawk Down was made about it.
Oh.
Anyway, none of that nonsense. We're going to put ourselves on the line. We're going to go in there and we're going to do it and we're going to do it right. So yeah. Speaking of all this, Frank, in addition, we had headlines coming out from the Washington Post, who, if they were not a flaming pile of dumpster fire before yesterday, have solidified themselves as true enemies of the United States of America. No ifs, ands, or buts. You saw this, right?
The edited headline.
They had an headline, terrorist in chief dies, right? And that was fine. They changed it. They changed it from terrorist in chief dies to austere religious scholar. And the rest of the article was written as though this man was like the pinnacle of all that's good and holy in the world.
Yep.
And people lost their minds. So, and not only that, there's another, Bloomberg wasn't shortly there behind, and there was another one too. But what started trending was this hashtag, WAPO death notices. And it was trending number one in the United States. And what it was everybody taking, like myself included, evil, horrible people, and then making what the Washington Post would have said about them the actual headline.
I have a couple here. I love them.
Oh, yeah, me too. Why don't you read some of yours, and then I'll read some of mine.
Okay, Mao Zedong, beloved leader, avid farmer, serial murderer, and political juggernaut, dead. And I have no idea because, I can't say the rest of it. you go to do one now.
Okay, mine, I wrote one, which I thought was, people actually attacked me for it, like thinking I was serious, which kind of bothered me because I'm like, really, you guys don't know me by now? You think I would actually say this right now? It was about Jeffrey Epstein, and I'm looking for it. I had it a second ago. WAPO death wing. Oh, people are going to start to get really upset with me about this.
Ted Bundy.
Go for it.
I have one here. Ted Bundy, lonely romantic, was brutally murdered by thuggish group of men. And I found one. I found someone, one that somebody wrote for Adolf Hitler, too, if you want me to read that one.
Yeah, and now I found mine. So you do that one.
Okay. Adolf Hitler, community planner and public speaker, avid oven enthusiast. And dead at 56.
Cutting edge chef and collector Jeffrey Dahmer dies at 34.
Cutting edge chef.
Charles Manson, club leader and motivational speaker, dies at 83. Did you say that one?
No. I started taking screen captures of everybody's. I didn't write anyone myself. I had friends sending me them. I was like, oh my God.
Here's my two that I did, and then we'll move on. Jeffrey Epstein, advocate for troubled teens and political influencer, dies at 66. And then I had expert marksman and friend to immigrants, Stephen Paddock, dies in suicide. Mohammed Atta, skilled aviator and leader of men, dies at 33.
Oh, man. Mohammed Atta. That was his face.
Yeah.
Okay, his face, that was always the guy, one of those faces I hated. When his headshot would pop up on television, especially at night if I was trying to go to sleep.
Really?
There are certain faces that you don't want to see late at night. Mm. I don't know.
I'll send you a selfie of myself smiling that you can use to replace it.
How the hell am I going to do that?
Well, if you see the picture, you put my picture up next, and then that's the last thing emblazoned in your mind.
I don't know how to do that on a television.
Oh, on the TV. Oh, I don't watch TV anymore, so.
Yeah, no, I just remember it back in the day because that was just one of those things. It's almost like watching Unsolved Mysteries where the picture of the victim somehow freaks you out.
Mm-hmm. That was a good show, though.
Yeah. No, I loved it. Robert Stack's the man. All right.
So we ended that off with a couple more. Washington Post, austere guardian of democracy, dies in darkness at 141.
Austere.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then Sean Davis from The Federalist said, perhaps the Washington Post is just upset that the radical Islamist terrorist Baghdadi was killed before they could rebrand him as a dissident journalist and give him his own column. Woo!
Man, oh man.
Khashoggi. Damn.
Well, there's a lot of that going on this week. This weekend. So that was the big, would you say that's the biggest story over the weekend?
Obviously. That was the biggest story over the weekend for sure. Absolutely.
Baghdadi. Yep. Okay.
And then we also had a clip of James Comey come out from a little thing that he did.
Is this the New Zealand clip?
Yeah. But he said in there, and you know, I have more of this. He said, I'm not worried about anything that I did. I'm not worried about any of it. You know, I said, he's such a piece of work. I don't even have words. Like the fact that he was even able to go up there and say, he just sounds like a loser. And I don't understand the hubris of these folks, right?
I understand it. It's very simple. It's the only play that they have.
I have a clip. You want to play it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Here he is.
Very comfortable meddling in the investigation being run by the U.S. attorney from Connecticut.
Meddling, that word.
That's what it's called. It's meddling.
Meddling.
Did you see the New York Times article about, I covered it on Friday night show.
The deep state talking one? About
the deep state one.
We talked about that on Friday.
Yeah. I put it up. Okay.
You know, yeah, remember, we actually, I sent it to you. But yeah, you made great points about that. It's true. The deep state is now the good guys.
Yeah, I went into the full article. You had sent me the copy and pasted of the, we went over the headlines there. But the article, did you read the article?
Yes, I did.
The people that they brought up being the deep state, it's not even the deep state. It's not even what's going on here. They brought up all of these very public resignations from the Interior Department and people who had political gripes with the president's approach or non-approach on the global warming advocacy nonsense. And I'm thinking to myself, wow. So not only are they forgiving any kind of internal resistance to an elected official, even though everybody who is resisting is not elected, but they're not even hitting on where all of this supposed deep state resistance has come from. It's not the people who removed themselves from government. They're still there. They've been kicking around. They didn't want to leave.
Not only that, but what they're doing is they're doing the same thing they do over and over and over again. Let's see, with what was known as Pizzagate at the time, trying to make the entire pedophile ring that we know exists into the basement of a pizza parlor, right? They took all of that and they lumped it in there. They do the same thing over and over. They try to co-opt the term, especially when they know it's about to be exposed in a way they never thought possible. And they try to co-opt it and make it something that it's not, so that people who are reading are then confused into thinking that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you know what? That also reminds me of something else that happened that is fairly big from Friday. Oh,
the Finders?
The Finders cult drop from the FBI.
Yeah, let's get into the Finders because Dave had a good point about that on Twitter and the timing of it all. Let's finish this clip and then we'll talk about the Finders. Not in detail because it makes me sick, but there are things that we can talk about broadly.
I can't tell what's going on with the Attorney General and that investigation.
Yeah,
I was deeply concerned by some things he said early on about using the word spying and saying there are things that just don't make sense. And at the time I said, that's not the way pros operate. If there's a reason to look at something, you shut up and you try and gather the facts and then share the...
Yeah, okay, we'll stop right there real quick. You shut up like the way you guys did?
You shut up and you leak it to your friends at CNN.
Yeah.
You shut up and you write yourself a memo and then you call up Jake Tapper.
Not only that.
You shut up and then you go and you take a job at MSNBC.
Not only that, but these people that he's talking about were responding to questions in official settings. You know what I'm saying? It's not like this was something that Barr called a press conference or went to leak to his friends and talk about, like you said. He was asked that question in a hearing. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
facts with us, and I still feel that way, that I don't know what they're looking at, and so I'm not really in a position to say you shouldn't investigate. Okay, if you're going to investigate, investigate. John Durham is someone who has a strong professional reputation, someone I've for years thought was an excellent prosecutor. I can't tell what's going on with the Attorney General. I would hope that Mr. Durham will do everything possible to protect his reputation from being damaged by those in leadership. And the most important way he can do that is give us transparency. I'm not worried.
You don't talk about it, but give us transparency. You don't talk about it, but give us transparency. No, you just told everyone that's not how things are done. So what are you freaking talking about, you moron?
Well, he told you what he's talking about, even though he said it under a different context. He said he's deeply concerned. So, I mean, I know he's deeply concerned about the process and what it is, what possibly they could be looking into. But strip all that stuff away. He's a deeply concerned man.
Yeah, he's deeply concerned. Right. We're going to listen to the rest of this in a second. But you hear the veiled threat at John Durham in there.
Oh, yeah. Think about your reputation, John.
Yeah.
You have such a good reputation. Don't pursue this nonsense any further.
Don't muddy it like you did when you took down the Whitey Bulger crew, right? Here.
Mm. About a single thing in connection with any of the matters under investigation, gather the facts, write a report, and share it with the American people. Please do that.
Because oh, we
all
will.
This stuff in the media with the Attorney General saying stuff doesn't jibe. Is an attack on the integrity of the institution, which he is supposed to be leading.
No, that's not how it works, James Comey. You destroyed the institution. You destroyed the institution. It is not protect the institution at all costs. It's just not. There's some more. Oh, God, this guy is so narcissistic. It makes me sick. Do you hear him? Please! Please expose me as the loser and criminal that I am. I beg of you.
I can't. I really hope that he gets to have some time behind bars to write a book from behind jail cell. I would love for him to write a book inside a jail.
A Lower Loyalty. How I became a slave to my prison inmate roommate.
Yeah. Cafeteria Time.
Here.
By James Comey.
Right.
Protect that is show the folks the facts. Lay it out. Don't drip it out. Don't leak it out. Give it out.
And I'm confident
that when the American people see the picture of why we did what we did, their confidence in the institution will be maintained, restored, and protected.
What? How do you lie? How do you lie with such conviction?
But wait a second. The picture. The best supportive picture to convey to people what James Comey's FBI did and why they did it is that's already the official narrative. That's already the official story.
Yeah.
Whatever comes from here on in is not going to be flattering to him. It's going to call everything into question. How the hell does he expect? So it's more projection. Remember, everybody, when you watch this, when you watch this unfold in the coming weeks and months, everything you see, you just got to look at it from a certain angle. Is more proof we did everything perfectly.
Right, right, right.
So, I mean, like I said before on Friday, mind control is real, my kids.
Well, speaking of mind control, so the FBI released what we never thought we'd ever see. Poor Ted Gunderson. I wish he was alive. I really do. So the finders, what kind of, did you do research into this by chance?
Oh, yeah. And I'm going deep into it tonight. I did a timeline of finders on Friday just because that the PDF that was released was over 300 pages long. And I wanted to line up a guest for tonight. And we're going to go on into that one, especially how there's other things that have been put into this. Like the tunnels.
Yeah. Yep.
The tunnel. I mean, so, you know, it's a lot of interesting stuff here. But the Finders was a mysterious organization often referred to as a cult. And it's fully documented at the FBI. It was outed as a CIA pretty much trafficking operation there. And it was also documented well in the mainstream media. But they have nothing. Nothing came of it. And it went back to 1987 when you have these two well-dressed men are arrested with six young abused children at some playground somewhere down in Tallahassee. It was called the Tallahassee incident. And that's when Tallahassee police identified these two males that had – they were both from Washington, D.C. The children they were with were covered with insect bites. They were very dirty. Most of the children were not wearing any underwear. And all of them had been – they had not been bathed in days. And they were – at least two of them were sexually abused, all that stuff. But then all of a sudden, inquiries were made into what was going on here, and it actually was released. All this was covered in outlets like the Washington Post.
Yeah,
and of course, it all goes away. It was claimed that this was all for the purposes of satanic ritual abuse, and then it just went away.
It went away. Ted Gunderson, who was part of the investigative team, I guess you could say, on the Franklin cover up. Was sending letters about this, and they were included in the FOIA release. And I tweeted, I'd like everyone who called us crazy conspiracy theorists to send their apology letters, because this stuff is real. And, specifically the tunnels and that school in California, Frank, that preschool in California, it makes me sick. This was the darkest thing that I spent a lot of time on this. It changed me as a person. We've talked about it before. They called these kids liars, basically, and it affirms these tunnels. It affirms the networks of tunnels. We had, back in the day, years before the election, we had the maps. We had the maps that showed these tunnels. We were tarred and feathered. Crazy lunatics those people are. How dare they say there are a network of tunnels underground for this stuff?
This is Los Angeles, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, see, this is what I'm talking about. I when I was watching True Detective season two, I went in there with high hopes because season one was so good, and season two was so disjointed, and I didn't understand it. But now I think I have to go back and watch it all again. Because there are these hints, these whiffs. It takes place in Los Angeles. These whiffs
of that.
First of all, they're in the tunnels at the end. They're in. There are Easter eggs with the tunnels. There's Easter eggs with all of these new age sex groups out there and all that stuff. There's just a lot. And of course, it all ties in with local sheriffs and courts and judges and of course interstate. Or I should say in-state construction progress, like the high-speed rails, how real estate deals and all these contracts are steered with powerful people. And, there's a lot there now that I may have to just go back and watch. But it's interesting here that the preschool and the tunnels were slipped in to this particular conversation about DC and Finders. And for everybody out there, in January of 1994, it was reported by U.S. News that in years after the arrest, it would turn out that Washington, D.C. police would drop the case against those two Finders abductors. And they would return the children to their parents, and then they claimed that the acts of this cult were eccentric but not illegal.
Mm-hmm. And who was it that made that decision, Frank?
I don't know.
Robert Mueller had a play in this, didn't he?
In 94?
I believe he was a U.S. attorney at the time.
I don't know.
I'm wrong about that. I may – just a disclaimer. I may be wrong, but I believe he had a hand in this.
Well, as the case was dropped by D.C. police, it was then asserted that perhaps the two Finders members were also part of the CIA.
Mm.
And then you have the leader of Finders, Marianne Petty. She would come forward to their defense, however. And then, of course, Petty would claim that the organization had no ties to SRA or child pornography. It's
right.
It's all – and they were managing this for years. So for this to come out, I don't know. I would have to imagine one of the things is it's just a shot across the bow of the CIA.
Yeah, well, from the FBI. And, if you've been listening to Bongino lately, you've heard that he's basically saying now that the FBI was unaware that the CIA was playing them with this information, and it all really stemmed from Brennan. Now, that doesn't mean the FBI didn't do anything wrong by any stretch of the imagination, and it's likely why the timeline expanded to be later after the president was elected. They expanded the scope of the investigation. But, you know, the FBI, Peter Strzok had some text messages that came out, I believe in the Flynn filing, actually, that he was shooting across the bow at calling him the sister organization, the CIA, for leaks, and not understanding why a lot of them weren't correct. Well, it was all John Brennan. So the timing of this, which implicates the CIA in some horrific stuff. And, you know, again, the problem with a lot of this is this. These people that claim satanic ritual abuse, mind control, et cetera, so on and so forth, they come forward and they don't appear credible because they're so messed up from it that it's hard to take, like, it's hard to present them as, you know, justified, credible, because they're so ruined from what they've gone through. And, Kathy, what's her last name? The most famous SRA whistleblower.
Kathy O'Brien.
Kathy O'Brien is one of the most credible, and she had a story to tell. And, you know, even today, which I think really needs to change, if you go to write a story about this stuff, even our compadres here will tell you you're crazy. But, you know, it's time for people to open their minds a little bit here and start to do some research and just give it a shot. Like, at least rip down the walls of this is just a big conspiracy theory, these people are crazy, and give them a listen, and then use your discernment to decide what you believe. But just outright, you know, writing these folks off who've been through this, when we have now, especially now, documented proof that this was something going on, is just unfair.
Not only that, but think about how Kathy O'Brien has never had a lawsuit against her. She's never been sued.
Right.
Nobody's ever tried. Nobody's going to come after her for libel or slander, especially the Clintons. She did, however, and she's written about this extensively on her website and elsewhere. She was sat down once, invited, she and Mark, when Mark was still alive, by Weinstein. She took a meeting with Weinstein. And he had offered, I believe, 9 figures for her story.
Wow, to buy her off?
To buy a story, 9 figures, so that it would be his story, or it would be locked up in a safe place. And of course, we know that how cozy the Weinsteins are with the Clintons, things like that. But that was one of the things. So you know, as Hollywood is a part of the intelligence services, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And so they slip on in there, and it's more laundering, more extortion. And I would suggest everybody go take a look at that.
I would also recommend, because she's a whistleblower-ish, you know, whistleblower from inside of Hollywood, Tiffany Fitzhenry.
Yeah.
That does a lot of good work with Hollywood and melding it into DC. I have something special for us now, Frank.
Great.
This is what I heard in my head.
Oh, my God.
That's what I heard in my head as I was listening to this clip we're about to show right
God.
Now.
Welcome to Friday. It's Meet the Press Daily. Good evening. I'm Chuck Todd here in Washington. Well, it's been another wild day. Democrats have just won a potentially major court victory in the impeachment fight, sort of. It will bring Mueller back into the picture. Late this afternoon, a key federal judge has ordered the Justice Department to hand over the grand jury material from former special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation before the end of the month. And in this case, the judge explicitly rejected the Trump administration's argument that the impeachment inquiry is illegitimate without a full House vote authorizing it. That is what may be the most important part of this ruling. The administration is likely to appeal it, but this is a big win right now for House Democrats, especially if it establishes a precedent allowing House investigators access to more documents, because the judicial branch recognizes what they're doing as an official impeachment.
Now I'm going to stop for a second. First problem here. This is a big win for the Democrats. Should never be words uttered when speaking about the impeachment of the president of the United States. This is the most serious. It's never happened in our history, what they're trying to do.
Nope.
Right?
Right.
And they're literally teaming it up. Like, there should be bipartisan support for something like this. Anyway, let's keep going.
inquiry. Now, this news comes as the New York Times reports and an NBC News source has confirmed that a probe by the president's attorney general, Bill Barr, into the origins of Mueller's investigation has changed from an administrative review into a criminal investigation. Now, we do not know when this criminal inquiry began, and we do not know what actual crime is being investigated yet, but we do know that this is an inquiry the president has publicly demanded, based largely, it seems, on some of the same personal grievances and conspiracy theories that have also fueled his interactions with Ukraine. And here's perhaps the biggest development right now. What we're now looking at, perhaps by the president's design, is a fog of political warfare involving him, his lawyer, his attorney general, the Justice Department, and Congress.
So foggy.
You have the president and Giuliani who scheme.
He, you know, conspiracy theories and all. That's why.
Thank God he grew that beard to cover up his non-chin.
Yeah, the conspiracy theories and the beard. Chuck Todd is a conspiracy theory. Every time I see that man, I think of the X-Files. I swear to God. Listen.
Chuck Todd and Adam Schiff should start dating. They really do look like a perfect couple. Like they hatched from the same egg.
Who would they have a throuple with?
Chuck Todd. Who's the third one? I don't know. I'd have to Ichabod Crane.
Ichabod Crane.
Yeah.
Jake Gibson from Fox News had an interview with A.G. Barr. This just came out. My exclusive interview with A.G. Barr, he says Durham investigation, quote, making great progress with, quote, outstanding support from Chris Wray and the FBI. Well, that's shocking. Wouldn't expect to hear that.
Oh.
So outside of that, Chuck Todd nonsense, conspiracy theories, all of it, just conspiracy theories. Everything is a conspiracy theory that we don't agree with. The DOJ is a rogue Department of Justice with a rogue prosecutor running around just investigating criminally conspiracy theories. Because as you know, it doesn't really take much to start a criminal investigation, remember?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't take anything, actually.
All they need is a hint.
Well, even just this, I don't know. Well, that first thing that you saying how this is a major the judiciary now believes it's an impeachment inquiry. I don't care what the judges say. I don't care what judges think they feel about this. It's if it's not done, if a vote is not taken, if this is not taken up in the House of Representatives, it doesn't matter. That's just like, you know, a preschool somewhere says we're going to impeach the president. And the judges say, I feel that this is legitimate. Then all of a sudden it's legitimate.
Well, it's just like the national injunctions from the activist judges who are diminishing in quantity before our eyes.
Oh, God.
It's sickening. It really is.
He'll win this appeal, too.
Some court will understand the gravity of what's going on here. Not only that, but since when does the Mueller grand jury information have anything to do with this impeachment inquiry they started about Ukraine? They're out of their minds.
And Chuck Todd has no idea what this could possibly be about. None of them do. Because, of course, they've dedicated their careers to avoiding it.
Not only that, but how broad is this thing now? Are they just, they failed. They have voted on impeachment in the House like four or five other times in this presidency. They've all failed miserably. And is this just an open season to just walk in and like randomly fire things off and just make sure, like, you know, those rubber darts that stick to things? Are they just throwing the rubber darts around inside the halls of Congress, hoping that one of them will eventually, this is what's going on here.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening.
Oh, Lord. So not to be in keeping with our trend of the media today, not to be outdone, we had somebody actually come out and criticize President Trump for not bringing Barron to the World Series game yesterday.
Oh, not bringing Barron to the World Series so that Barron could also be booed by a bunch of 50,000 drunk porn addicts.
I mean, yeah, well, this guy's like a father not taking to his son to a baseball game, let alone a World Series game, is perhaps the worst indictment of a family man I've ever heard.
Oh, God. These people hate family.
I have a feeling Trump could have gotten Barron a ticket if he got tickets for Scalise and Gates. And then someone said, maybe They didn't want him to be subjected to what these people did to him.
Exactly. Exactly.
Maybe he doesn't like baseball.
You want to go to the World Series? Do you have school the next day? Who knows? What the hell? Who knows what it is? You ask him. You want to go. And then, of course, you have to just consider, you know, what's going to happen. I mean, everything you saw come out of that fan base, which I'm so happy in a very, very delightfully expected way. The Nationals imploded afterwards. They lost all three of their home games. Amazing. But, you know, you look at that, the makeup of the people in that stadium last night. Is it any mystery as to why Democrats want to give statehood to Washington, D.C., so they can pick up some senators and House reps? Is there any mystery after last night's ridiculousness coming from that fan base?
Is it any mystery why they want all of their juries to be sat in D.C. and not Virginia or anywhere else? Can you find an impartial jury in D.C.?
No. No, only communists.
And not only that, but just to speak to the pure trash of the folks in the stadium last night, I don't know the politics of this woman, and you'd probably love it, but there was a woman sitting behind home plate.
The boobs?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I saw those.
I know you did.
My buddy sent it to me this morning, and there's two women, right?
I saw one. I saw the one woman flash the camera. Whatever. I mean, God, you know,
Tracy, don't judge. Boobs are, hold on, let me go back and find these again.
I'm not judging her boobs. They were nice. I'm just saying you don't need to do that. They were nice. I'm sorry. They were.
Yeah, there's two.
For a set of boobs, they were nice boobs. I'll just be honest about it.
There's two women. They're both wearing yellow t-shirts, and both of their boobs, from what I see right here, are pretty good. But yeah, it's national television, and that's just, you know, you're talking about grossness. Yeah, that's gross.
I mean, that means, and they're not even, oh, goodness. Okay. Anyway, that's the caliber of people. And again, the Trump curse in full effect. Everybody that is a deplorable in this country is now a huge Houston Astros fan, which is interesting because my son's little league team is the Astros, and he has a doubleheader tonight. So I hope they win.
Well, I hope he wins. And I don't know what I have to imagine that, you know, Houston is a big city. So, you know, with big cities, how the politics usually is. But I have to imagine just being a Texas team, there's going to be a little bit better mix of ideological makeup within that fan base. Now, to say go Houston, thinking that there would be any bigger or better reaction, I don't know.
Hold on one second. Sorry about that little interruption.
Yeah, well, it was just one of those things where, yeah, I'm pulling for the Astros just to finish it off.
Again, and me too. Hold on. All right, so I've got calls coming in left and right, so we're just going to wrap the show for today. You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
me, Beans. I like the end. That's great. You guys can listen to us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and RadioInfluence.com. We will see you Wednesday.
Later.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.